Welcome. So glad you're here tonight. I have a message tonight that it's not about America, but it has the potential to change America. I have a message tonight that's not about the city or the region, although it has the potential to change this region. It's not about the church, though it has the potential to change the church. It's not about your family, although it has the potential to change your family. This is a message intensely about you. It's just you and God tonight. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? We're going to read a couple scriptures and we're going to pray. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked from the Lord, that shall I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. And then Luke chapter 10. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Would you pray with me, please? Lord, only you can. This is your message. And it's deep calling to deep. Holy Spirit, please come. Please come and speak to each one. Just for them, just exactly what you want to say to them tonight. Lord, have your way in this place. Please hide me behind the cross. We need to see you. We need to hear you tonight. We ask it all together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the title of the message is Choosing Intimacy with God. And point one is the good part. Jesus says that Mary has chosen the good part, and it will not be taken from her. I want to submit to you tonight that the good part is intimacy with God. When Jesus says there's one thing necessary, he's alluding to Psalm 27:4, where David gives the famous one thing passage. This is what my life's going to be about. I want to dwell in your presence. This is what I'm going to give my energy to. I want to dwell. I don't want to visit. I want to dwell. I want to see life through the beauty of the Lord. I want to know your ways. This is the one thing, and Mary is sitting at the Lord's feet, but the allusion is not just to that one act, but a lifestyle called intimacy with God. He says the good part, and the NIV, God bless the NIV, it says Mary has chosen what's best, but that's a bad translation in this instance. It is part. He is saying parts of a whole. Mary has chosen the good part, which was what he's basically implying is, Martha, you've got the bad part. Let me tell you what the bad part is. Serving Jesus and no longer enjoying Jesus. The bad part is you doing most of the work, you making most of the sacrifices, and you feeling like you're doing it yourself and you're doing it for God instead of with God, and that I don't even know where God is, but here I am slaving away, doing all this stuff, and I don't know where God is. Here's the bad part. When you are a Christian, but you're missing the main event, which is intimacy with God. So I want to incite tonight some spiritual FOMO. FOMO, fear of missing out. And what you realize in this life is there's opportunity costs. That if I can't do everything, and if I do that, I'm not doing that, and I'm missing out on something here, and I'm missing out, and I want to create some spiritual FOMO here around this topic of intimacy with God. Let me read to you just a couple of psalms. This is Psalm 36, 7 through 9. How priceless is your unfailing love, O God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. In the shadow of your wings. This is the picture of a chick in the wing. This is intimacy. In the wings of its mother. And in that place, there is a feast in God. There is a river of delight. Now, how many know that if you're never drinking of that river of delight, you're not going to be a strong Christian? You might be committed, but you're not going to be strong. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Psalm 23:5. This is from the NLT. I read it this morning. It was this morning's One Year Bible reading. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil, my cup overflows with blessings. This is tonight's service. There is a feast that has been prepared for every single one of us in the presence of our enemies. They're our enemies. And God wants to anoint us tonight until we overflow. Bob Sorge has a book called The Secrets of the Secret Place, and he says this in there. He says, when a sincere Christian misses their quiet time or misses church, God is not disappointed in them. He's disappointed for them. Jesus isn't disappointed in Martha. He's disappointed for her. Martha, there's another choice that you can make. There is a better choice that you can make. The good part. Enemy is very good at what he does. Have you ever thought of his marketing scheme? Think about it. There's two trees in the middle of the garden. And one is the tree of life, and one is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all Eve can talk about is that how desirable that tree of the knowledge of good and evil is. And she's drawn to the point where she says, we can eat of any of the trees, but not the one in the middle of the garden. Well, guess what? There's two in the middle of the garden, not one. But she's become enamored with this tree. And I think that the enemy is just really good at marketing. You're going to miss it. If this is going to be awesome. This is going to be amazing. This. And everything in the world is crying out. And there's this fear. I'm going to miss this if I don't do this. And we get spinning. And then, here's the other part of his marketing. Church. Boring.
quiet time with God. Boring.
You could do this. You could do this. You could do this. You could do this. He's really good at marketing. What he doesn't tell you is that all of those things often just leave us emptier than when we started. And God just silently watches us and waits for us. He says to Martha, Mary has chosen the good part. And of course, what he's saying to her is, you've got a choice too. You're not a victim. You're not a victim of your life. You're not a victim of your responsibilities. You're not a victim of this, 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 and the other thing. No, everybody's got a choice. You get to make a choice. Now, it turns out, to make that choice, there's actually three choices. And that brings us to point two. To choose the good part, there are three choices you have to make. Here's number one. You have to choose God's face over his hand. In Psalm 27:8, David says this, my heart has heard you say, seek my face. And David says, your face, O God, I will seek. God's face is who he is. God's hand is what he can do for you. And David says, God invites him to seek his face, to seek for more than just what God can do for him, to seek God for who he is in himself. That's the great prize. The great prize is not something God's going to do for you. Great prize isn't you being king. It's not you getting a spouse. It's not you making a lot of money. The great prize is God himself. But we all need to be very careful, because what happens in this life is, and the way God has set it up, is eventually you're going to get what you want. You're going to get what, not what you say you want, not what you sing you want, but what you actually want. Psalm 103:7 says that God revealed his ways to Moses and his deeds or his acts to the children of Israel. And they both got exactly what they wanted. The children of Israel said, we don't want to hear your voice. Moses, you hear him for us. We just want bread. We want meat. We want to survive. We need water. And God's hand, they saw God's hand again and again and again. And Moses said, if I have found favor in your eyes, teach me your ways. Show me your glory. If your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. And Moses got what he asked for. I want you to think about Elisha and his desire for God. His desire for the intimacy that he saw in Elijah. And Elijah says, is there something you want? My time is coming. Is there something you want? He says, yeah, I want a double portion of what you have. And he follows him around, and Elijah keeps trying to get rid of him, and he just holds on. And he gets a double portion. Double portion of the anointing, a double portion of the Holy Spirit, a double portion. What all that means, we don't know, but he had twice as many miracles as Elijah did, and he wanted the things of God. Gehazi is his servant. Gehazi's in the exact position that Elisha was to Elijah, and Gehazi goes after Naaman after Naaman gets his healing, and he offers all this money, and Elisha says, no, we're not taking any money. This is free. This is God's grace. This is a message for all of Aram. You go back. Everything God has is free. And he goes back, and Gehazi says in his heart, we let him off easy. So he goes after him, and he says, hey, some people came, and, you know, guess what? We do want something, and And he asks for a talent of silver, which is a ton of silver. And Naaman says this, I'm going to give you double. He got double what he asked for. And he also got Naaman's leprosy for the rest of his life. And he lost his destiny. And so my question is this, is what if a generation rose up that wanted God more than what the world can give? What if a generation really wanted God more? Really wanted the things of God? Really wanted the anointing of God more? This is our great test. God appeared to Solomon in a dream and he said, what do you want? That is the question. And it's an amazing thing when you ask for the right thing. Solomon got a whole bunch of stuff that he didn't ask for because what he asked for pleased God. What do you want? Deep in your heart, what do you want? A few weeks ago, my sister Katie preached here and she told the story of cancer. And she went through this stripping away of everything that her identity was in. Her looks, her hair, her outreach, her church ministry, her job. She couldn't do anything as she's going through chemotherapy and going through the whole thing. And she had to look at what was left. I had an experience in 2008 where we were coming to Madison and things came and it was very different than how I thought it would be. And we thought God had brought us here and there was going to be, City Church was going to happen. Lake City and Mad City would go together. There would be this City Church. And we were coming with that promise, but so many things all at once were going wrong in my life. And I felt like a failure as a father. I felt like a failure as a provider. And I felt like a failure as a pastor. And really all I had left was this promise that God was going to put these two churches together and it was going to be amazing. And we went on vacation. And we were up at a cabin and I got a dream in the night. And in this dream, it was powerful. It was... And I've told the dream before. I'm not going to tell the dream, but it was a moment of intimacy with God in a public setting, and I obeyed God, and people got healed, and it was stunning what happened in this dream. And I wake up, and I'm like, "That's cool." I didn't really know what it meant or anything, but I'm like, "That was awesome." I sit down, I get my coffee, sitting down to have my quiet time, and there is a question that comes into my mind. And here's the question. What do you want? And immediately, I knew what the two options were. One option was that dream, to have a relationship with God that was so free and so intimate that I would do crazy stuff if he told me to. And the other option was to be the pastor of a huge church, City Church. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Has this all been a test? I've been receiving prophetic words for 4 years about City Church. Has this all been, what are you about? What do you want? I said, Jesus, I don't care about City Church. I want that relationship. I want that intimacy. I immediately called two of my friends that knew about the City Church prophecies, and I told them both, City Church isn't happening. Absolutely not happening. The whole thing was a test. God had to offer it so that I could make that choice. I have made my choice. City Church will not happen. And one of them said, you can think whatever you want to. City Church is still going to happen. What do you want? Deep in your heart, what do you want? God can give you anything. Let's ask for the right thing. Second choice, pleasing Jesus over pleasing Martha. Every one of us will have to die to Martha's expectations for you and be okay with her disappointment. You say, well, I don't know anybody named Martha. Oh, let me tell you who Martha represents. Martha represents that good Christian person that has strong opinions about your life. Strong opinions about what you should be doing. Strong opinions about you should do this, you should do that. They are driven. Martha herself is driven by guilt, and so she will use guilt. She will try to manipulate and get because she feels like she's right. Lord, tell my sister to help me. I'm doing all the service. She's absolute. There's not a question in her mind that she's right, and that if that Mary should be helping her. And it's hard to disappoint Christian people. It's hard. This is a Christian need. My oh my, serving Jesus. But if you're going to choose intimacy with God, you're going to have to be okay disappointing Martha. You're going to have people disappointed, people that you love. People that want you to do X, Y, and Z, you're going to have to be okay with their disappointment. Here's the thing. If you can't say no to people, you're not really able to say yes. If you feel like I just have to say yes to every need and every person and everything, you're going to end up resenting people. And you're going to get burned out. And you're going to think it's because you love people so much. Because this was I just loving people. This is what loving people is. It's meeting needs and doing what everybody wants you to do. And guys, you can't put the second commandment in front of the first commandment or you'll burn out. Then there's the inner Martha. The inner Martha is, you don't need anybody else to tell you what you should be doing because you have a voice inside of you all the time. You need to do that. 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 And it doesn't let up. And you're never going to have intimacy with God until you can learn to say no to that voice. There's a guy named Mark Verkler. He wrote a book called Dialogue with God. And he told about this time that he was at his home and he was the president of a big university and they were doing all kinds of stuff. But on this particular morning, he was walking in his garden and it was a beautiful day and the birds are singing and he can smell the flowers and he's just with God. He's just enjoying God. And he gets about halfway through and he's like, just starts feeling horrible. It's like, how can I enjoy this when so many people are hurting, so many people are suffering? And how can I waste my time here when I could be doing this and that and the other thing? And lists of things come into his mind. And the Lord speaks to him. And he says, what you're doing right now is the consummation of why I made you. Do you know that God doesn't need you to meet all the needs in the world? Do you know that God could meet them all without you? God could just go like that, and every need, every lost person would be saved, every starving person would be fed, everything would be done, just like that. You and I were created to walk with God. This is the highest call. To delight in Him. to find delight in Him, to enjoy your relationship with God, bring strength to everything else. Now you've got more strength to reach the lost and feed the poor and do all the other things that might be part of your assignment. Never confuse your dream and your assignment. Your assignment is what God wants you to do, but your dream needs to be Him. That's the main event. If your dream is about, I want to be a singer, or I want to be an author, or I want to be a pastor, or I want to be... Listen, there's not joy in any of those things. There's only joy in Jesus. Sorry. You'll go out and achieve your dream and find yourself absolutely disillusioned by it. I thought this was the American promise, that once you accomplish your dream, now you would be fulfilled. No, that's not how it works. How many know that the American promise isn't the right promise? So I have a little, every morning I have my coffee and I have my one-year Bible and I've got my journal and I've got several other devotionals that I do. And when I do one cup of coffee for all that stuff, and then I go up and get a second cup of coffee for my journaling. And then I'll journal prayers. And then after that, I will go on my prayer walk every day. What I'll say to Alice often is, I am going to go fulfill the consummation for why I was created. Whoa, yep, walking with God. This is not rocket science, folks. God wants to walk with us. He wants to be our delight. He wants us to know that we are His delight. Yes, us. You're going to have to conquer the inner Martha. The more you do out of guilt, the more you do out of duty, just cold duty, the more you empower guilt in your life. And frankly, if it's been in your family, and don't be angry at mom and dad. People that operate out of guilt and make other people feel guilty, it's because that's how they are functioning. And so, of course, they're going to function that way. So it's not Martha's fault. But Mary has to make a choice, and so will you. And then the third choice is a focused life instead of a distracted one. Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. How many have learned that you can shut your physical door and still have your emotional and mental doors wide open? Like, I'm in this room by myself, but I'm everything's talking to me. And of course, this is the discipline of quiet time. This is the great challenge. Because there's so much noise in our world. There are so many voices speaking. There are so many emotions that are in our land right now. There are so many, you know, you got that phone beeping every time you get something, and to shut the door and meet with God, you have to develop this discipline of letting every other noise go down so that you can start hearing the whispers of God. Shut the door. Otherwise, what happens is you have a quiet time and you never met with God. you were because the door, you couldn't shut the door of your mental and emotional. And so oftentimes people just worry in front of God and then they leave. And of course, when that's your experience, you don't really want to do it again because it does seem like a waste of time. And how many know that you can come to church and not shut the door and be in church, and it can be even anointed and good, and you got absolutely nothing out of it because you never shut the door? You brought everything in with you. I'm so grateful for streaming and live streaming, but folks, let live streaming be an option for you when you're sick or when there's some reason why you can't get to. Don't make it your main option. Why? Because you got to shut the door. Leaving your house and coming to an actual building and setting time apart, that is shutting the door. That is a physical thing where you are putting yourself in the presence of God. I mean, I've watched our services online when we're on vacation. I'm so grateful we have it, but it's really hard to shut the door when you're online. And it's really hard. I'm trying to worship with it, and, you know, there's just other things happening. We need to encounter God, guys. We need to encounter Him. We need to shut the door. Pastor Tom, I don't know how to do it. Well, the Holy Spirit will help you. You've got to be committed to it. It has to be your desire. He will help you. This feast is in the presence of our enemies. One of my one book that I have loved from C.S. Lewis is called The Screwtape Letters. And it's Uncle Screwtape is writing to his nephew Wormwood, and they're both demons. And Screwtape is this administrator, head demon, master tempter, and Wormwood is a novice. He's a new one. He's learning. He's kind of the disciple of Screwtape. And so there's 31 letters that go back and forth, and the human being that Wormwood is assigned to is called his patient. And Wormwood keeps wanting to tempt his person into these really impressive, huge sins. And Screwtape writes back and says, No. Here's how you get them. He said, that can come later. But right now, here's, because his person became a Christian, which was really bad for them. And he said, here's what you do. He said, when you see the enemy speaking to him, when you see him being dealt with by the enemy and God is doing something in him, say something like this into his mind. This is good. And it's so good that I'm going to wait for later to think about it. And right now, I'm going to eat lunch. And then he says, after lunch, you just touch a few other things, and pretty soon, the thought of that good thing, the thing that the enemy was trying to do in him, will disappear. And this is how the enemy works. He takes the things of this world, the cares, the worries, the pleasures of this life, and he distracts with them. A focused lifestyle instead of a distracted one. A focused lifestyle. You can't have intimacy with God without focus. Song of Songs 2:15. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards. Our vineyards are in bloom. What robs us of intimacy with God are little things, little distractions. And to gain intimacy, we've got to decide my life is going to be focused. This is what David says, one thing have I desired. This is what I'm going to seek after.
Well, what about all the other stuff? All the other stuff will find its place under one thing. But if you don't make one thing, here's what Jesus said about the one thing. It's necessary. This is how you are hooked up. This is how I am hooked up. When we choose that one thing, we're going to get the good part, and all of life will be lived from that place. But the enemy is a distractor. Martha, you have, he's not rebuking her for serving. He's not rebuking her. He's just instructing her. He says, you become distracted. Your job has distracted you. Your preparations have distracted you. Your family has distracted you. Your education has distracted you. Your dream to do this and this has distracted you. You choose the good part. Paul says it this way. He says, everything else has become dung to me compared to the excellency of Christ Jesus, that I might know him, that I might experientially know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering. Whichever it is, I want to know him. I want my life to be about knowing him. And then he says this one thing I do. I forget what's behind and I press on towards this high calling in Christ Jesus. This is the one thing I do. I'm not defined by my past. I'm not defined by what happened yesterday, either successes or failures. I am pressing on for what God has laid his hand upon me for. The one thing. And then finally, my last point, God's response to our choice. Now, this is the most exciting thing. Jesus says, Mary has chosen the good part and it will not be taken from her. Jesus, if you choose the one thing, he will defend it. He will make sure it's not taken from you. If you, in your heart, your deepest heart, truly say, Lord, I'm in. I want intimacy with God. I choose intimacy with God. I choose the one thing. I choose the focused lifestyle. I choose to say no to the voice of Martha. I choose to seek your face over your hand. I choose you. He says, when you make that choice, I'll make sure it doesn't get taken from you. I'm going to do something now. And I think about the last 13 years since that dream in 2008 and that time of making that very clear choice. And I think about all the stories that I've told. And all the stories are either the result of intimacy with God or they're a result of me wandering and God bringing me back to intimacy with God. All my stories are about that. No matter how far I get here, how many know we're prone to wander? We're prone, we get tired, we get distracted, we get busy, life happens. But Jesus says, if you will choose this sincerely, I will protect it for you. I'll make sure it doesn't get taken from you. I will bring you back to this place. Again and again and again. When we were with the teenagers a few weeks ago at camp, what we did, I knew God wanted to touch them and God was going to pour his glory out on them, but this isn't about a one-timer. This isn't about an experience. It's about a lifestyle. And so what we did, I gave a gift of my devotional. I wrote a devotional. It's got one for every day for 365 days. And every kid that signed up for the retreat got a free devotional and had to start reading it right away, every day, every day, every day. And then we did those every day while we were at camp. Why? Because it has to be a lifestyle. It can't be an event. It can't be a great meeting. It has to be a lifestyle. It is a way of life. Getting into the habit of making God your delight. Getting into the habit of being God's delight. Getting into the habit of, this is my life. I walk with God. We actually, I had them put out a number of the devotionals out on the table out there. If you want one, you can grab one. And there's a they're a suggested donation of $10. And I want to assure you that I do not get that money. That it goes to a benevolence fund that Joel and I run. Psalm 4:3. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly person for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. The godly person is the person that has set themselves apart for God. To be godly just means I want to live close to God. A godly person is somebody that's living their life, that's organized their life to live close to God. And God says this, I'm going to set apart the godly person for myself. A godly person is somebody that set themselves apart. And God says, my response to that is I'm going to set them apart. And that is what holy means, is to be set apart. So God says, I'm going to respond to their response. They've chosen to set themselves apart. Now I'm going to pour out my Holy Spirit, my set apart Spirit, and I'm going to seal their weak decision with my Holy Spirit. Yesterday we pray every morning before the meetings, and I look at my phone rings, and it's Brian White. Brian White's an overseeing elder, but we're right in the middle of prayer, so I turn it off, and we go into the morning meeting. And at the very end, I get up, and we're closing the meeting, and I used one of the verses that I think Greg used earlier. James 4:8. God, it's because of you. You've drawn us to you. And then James 4:8 says, now if you will draw near to God, he will draw near to you. It was the act of God that you were drawn to God in the first place. And now if you will draw near to him, if you will respond to him by drawing near, he will respond to your response. And this is where the action is. This is where things happen, when God responds to our response. And so I'm praying that God, we would draw near, and God, that we would get ready for you to draw near. And so the meeting is over, and I get to my phone and I listen to the voicemail, and here's what Brian said. He says, Tom, he says, I feel this so strong. He says, God is inviting you people. He's been watching the evening services. He said, he's inviting you to draw near. And if you will draw near, and it's his drawing in the first place, but if you will now respond by drawing near, he will respond to your response. And he wants to pour out his Spirit. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I literally just prayed that. So here is how we're going to end tonight. There are two things that are really important in Christianity. One is the wineskin and one is the wine. The wineskin is our identity. A lot of our speakers have spoken about how important identity is. That we are favored children. We're not under performance anymore. By the blood of Christ, we are God's redeemed. We are his beloved. We are his favored children in this identity where we know we're loved and we know we're favored and that grace can come to us. That's the wineskin, your identity. But the purpose of the wineskin is to hold the new wine.
That the old identity, the performance identity, the guilt identity, the fear identity that's under the law can't hold much wine. You can get touched by God, but you'll have to come right back and get to another meeting and get touched again. And it's a mess without getting the right identity. But once you've got the right identity, the purpose of the wineskin is the wine. And God, what God wants to do in all of us is he wants to teach us how to drink his wine. Jesus said, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and rivers will flow out of his innermost being. We need to drink directly of the Holy Spirit from Jesus. We need to drink. We need to bring our thirst to him, and that is how rivers start coming. The dangerous thing about church is that you can come and never drink. You can have a quiet time and never drink. And what happens is, when there's no demand on the Spirit of God, the river just dries up. But the opposite also happens. When people truly bring their thirst to God, when they truly come to drink of God, rivers start flowing. And the more demand there is on the Holy Spirit, the more the river rises. There is an abundance in God he's infinite. And then the second thing he wants to do is cause us to be addicted to his presence. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is the addiction you were created for. And the more you're addicted to his presence, the easier everything else is. The easier all the devotional life. You don't even think about it as discipline anymore. It's just easy. It's the ease of heaven. And so how is God going to do this? He's been working on our identity. He wants us to know we're forgiven, we're beloved, we're chosen, we're favored children. And now he wants to teach us to get filled and to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. You were created to be yourself filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, why do we have to get filled again? I thought we got filled 10 years ago, or we got filled last week. You leak. And the way God set it up was for intimacy. You just got to come again and again and get filled again and again. Well, why do you have to drink water every day? I just drank water yesterday. Why do we have to drink it again today? Well, that's just how you're created. We were created to be filled.